You're listening to Stories of the Master. The stories of Jesus have reached into the hearts of millions. They have changed people, families, and nations. Not all have loved the stories Jesus told. Not all have honored the life he lived. Some were angry with him, the things he did and the things he said. Others were deeply moved and found hope. What will your response be? Today on Stories of the Master, the woman who wept at his feet, and it is taken from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. I hope you will follow along in your own Bible. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your storyteller and teacher. I'm so glad you're here. Gather your friends, come close and listen. It's time for the world to hear again the stories of the Master. And now, the woman who wept at his feet. She stood at the edge of the crowd. She had heard about this Jesus, his miracles, his teaching, and she so desperately wanted to see him. She had so much she wanted to say to him, so much to tell about her life, and so many questions to ask. But what chance did she have of ever getting close enough to talk with him? He was a man. She was a woman. He was a celebrity. She was a nobody. And besides that, well, let's just say she had a reputation in her community, and she must be careful when in public so as not to arouse the hostility of others. She listened as Jesus spoke, and even though the distance was almost too great to hear, it was as if Jesus was speaking right to her. All her sins came up before her, all her unworthiness, all her shame, and she began to cry. It had been a long time since she had cried. Her heart had been hardened by the bad choices she had made, by the mistreatment from men, and the anger of the other women in the community. It was as if her heart had been baked by the hot Middle Eastern sun. Yet, when Jesus spoke of God's kingdom coming with love, forgiveness, mercy, healing, restoration, she felt a stirring inside. His words washed over her and penetrated deeply into the soil of her heart, softening it, enlivening it, nourishing it, and giving her hope. She began to cry again, but this time the tears were different because she felt different. She was feeling again. Her heart was coming alive. She sensed the love of God, the mercy of God, for someone such as she was. And it was all because of this man Jesus and the words he spoke that day. The sermon was now over, and Jesus was quickly surrounded by a group of men. They began walking her way. She stood still, watching. She pulled her shawl more closely across her face and body so others would not see who she was. They were now right next to her, and she heard Simon the Pharisee say, "Jesus, what you have stated today is a hard word to receive. I would like to discuss this more with you. Several friends are coming to my house today to discuss Moses and the prophets. I would like you to come to my house and join us for lunch so that we can discuss these matters further." And Jesus replied, "I accept your invitation, Simon." And with that, the men continued walking toward Simon's home. The woman could not believe her good fortune. She knew where Jesus would be next, at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And if she hurried, she could be there at this house for the meal. She would not be an invited guest. Only the men would recline at the table, but villagers would be allowed to come into the home and stand along the walls and watch, listen, and learn as the men discussed matters of theology. The crowd would be great in the house, and there would not be room for all. She had only a moment to decide, and then she ran to her house. quickly went through her possessions and found something of great value. Then she hurried toward the house of Simon the Pharisee, hoping against hope that she would get there before the men arrived and that she would be allowed to enter. Breathlessly, she came to the street where Simon lived, and in the distance, she saw Simon and the others with Jesus still on their way. "Good," she said. "I am ahead of them." Then a few more steps, and she was at the house. Servants were scurrying about with last-minute preparations for the meal. Already several others had entered the house in the room where the meal would be served. Word had spread, and men and women came to listen to the men talk with Jesus about God's word. She once again pulled her shawl close about her and entered. With great relief, she saw that no one recognized her, for there was such noise and busyness going on. She found a place that gave her full view of the door through which Jesus would walk, and the place where he and the other men would recline at the table and talk. Her heart was pounding within her as she clutched the precious gift she had brought from home, a small bottle of precious perfume. If only she could give this to Jesus. It is the least she could do for all that he had done for her. She had not even met him, and yet she felt so close to him and felt such love and release that she had not experienced in years. And then she heard one of the servants say, "They are here! They are here!" And the men began to enter the great home. First was Simon, the master of the house, and then his friends. As each one walked in, they were given a kiss, and their feet were washed. Some were anointed with oil, and one by one, the Pharisees took their place around the table. The woman watched the entire proceeding and noticed how each man was honored. She also noticed something she thought a little odd. She saw Simon talking with the servants, and she heard snatches of his orders to them. "When he enters the room, do not..." And then the voices were blotted out. And then she heard, "No water for his feet," and "No oil." Why was Simon saying this? What did he mean? Finally, Jesus entered the banqueting hall. He took two steps in and stopped. At this point, servants were to come forward with water for his feet, and Simon was to come forward in gracious hospitality with a kiss on the hands or the cheeks. But no one moved. The servants stood there helplessly. They looked to Simon, but his stone face warned them that they were not to make a move in the direction of Jesus. And there Jesus stood, alone, shamed, and dishonored in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Had not Simon invited him? Was he not his guest? Then why was he not given the marks of hospitality? Why was there no kiss for Jesus as the others had received? Why was there no water for his feet? Why was there no oil for his head? Jesus had walked into a trap. He looked at Simon, who smiled back at him, but not a smile of friendship, but a smile of one who had conquered an enemy. He looked at the other Pharisees who were already reclining at table, but who refused to make eye contact with him. He looked at the servants and smiled at them, as if he were saying, "It's okay. I understand. I know what is happening here." And then Jesus walked to the place at the table with unwashed hands, unwashed feet, no oil for his head, no kiss of greeting, and reclined. The villagers who had watched this oversight, this insult, could not believe what they had just witnessed. Jesus was being forced to eat with unwashed hands. Jesus had just been publicly insulted by one of the leading men of the village. Yet he went forward to the meal and took his place with great dignity and composure. The villagers were surprised by what they had just seen, and the room was charged with anxiety. People held their breath, wondering what would happen next. But the woman stood in shock as she saw the humiliating treatment Jesus had endured by these men who claimed to be the representatives of God. She looked to the servants and pleaded with her eyes for them to do something for Jesus. But they could only look back with weak, helpless smiles. She looked at the table of dignitaries. Not one of them had fulfilled the rules of hospitality. All of them had insulted Jesus. She wanted to go to each of them, shake them, slap them, scream at them for the way they had treated this man who now meant so much to her, this man who had given her hope, this man who had given her forgiveness and a new life. Her heart pounded within her, and she knew what she must do. "Very well," she said to herself, and the woman walked to the center of the room where the men were beginning their meal and stood at Jesus' feet. Hello everyone, this is Jonathan Williams, the creator of and storyteller for Stories of the Master. I hope you're enjoying today's story. It's one of my favorites. Stories of the Master is a ministry of Word of God Speak, where we teach about life change, how to build a biblical worldview, and how to connect your story to the story of God's love for the world. You can write to us at P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. We hope you'll also check out our website, storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. Jesus is having lunch at the home of Simon the Pharisee. He has been insulted by the lack of hospitality toward him, but he has graciously remained. But the sinful woman is about to do something that will change her heart and the hearts of others forever. Let's get back to our story and find out what happens next. The woman, the sinner, the one who was stained, the one who was looked down upon by every other woman and who was abused by men, stood at the place where Jesus reclined. What was she doing there? She was supposed to stay by the back wall with all the other villagers to watch the meal and listen to the conversation. She was not allowed in the inner circle. Who was this woman, and why was she not taking her proper place? The woman felt like all eyes were upon her, and then she knelt at the feet of Jesus and said softly to herself, "If no one else will wash his feet, I will." She looked to the servants for water. She dare not speak out loud in a place where only men could discuss important matters, but everyone knew what she wanted, water to wash his feet. But no one moved, and the woman looked in grief and anger at their hardness of heart. The woman burst into tears, not tears of embarrassment, but tears for what they were doing to her master. Tears for the way they had insulted the only man who had ever loved her and respected her. Tears for her own sin, and tears for the mercy she had received. And as she knelt at his feet, sobbing with great sorrow, with all these emotions roiling through her heart, her tears began to fall upon Jesus' feet and wet them. At last, there was water for his feet. And then the tears came even more as she realized what was happening and that now she could wash the feet of Jesus. Her sorrow had provided her with the water she needed to perform this act of honor and respect. With great gentleness, she moved her hands across his feet and washed the dust away. But now, she had to dry his feet. She looked up at everyone, at the Pharisees, at the ones standing along the wall, at the servants. She needed a towel to dry Jesus' feet. But still, no one moved. "Very well," she thought again. "I have come this far. I have come into the home of a Pharisee. I have walked to a place in the room where I am not supposed to be. I have let my tears fall upon the feet of this holy man and washed them with my sinful hands. I will not stop now." And the woman did the unthinkable. She did what no other woman in that part of the world did in public. She let down her hair in the sight of all. Only a wife at home in the presence of her husband did such a thing. Slowly, knowing that every eye was upon her, she let down her long, beautiful hair, brought it in front of her body, and stooped even lower and began to dry his feet with her hair. The act was exhilarating. She did not care what others thought, for this was the first time she had used her body in worship and in respect. Her heart was overcome, and she could not help herself. She had never felt such pure love before in her life, and she began kissing his feet in humility, in gratitude, and in worship to God for his mercy. Then the woman raised up slightly, put her hand in her bosom, and brought out her most precious possession, the perfumed oil. She would not presume to touch Jesus' hands or his head. She stayed at his feet and anointed them with her precious perfume. The servants who watched the woman were ashamed for their lack of courage, as the woman did what they should have done. The guests in the room had never seen anything like it, and wondered what would happen next to this sinful woman who had dared to approach Jesus in the home of Simon the Pharisee. But the Pharisees who watched recoiled in revulsion, as if some plague had entered the house and was threatening them. They could not believe the boldness of this brash woman and her complete lack of modesty. But a greater shock was that Jesus himself did nothing to the woman. He did not move. He did not protest. He did not ask the servants to remove her from the house. In fact, he seemed to be enjoying what the woman was doing. Simon the Pharisee, with a knowing look on his face, mumbled to the Pharisee next to him,
If this man were a prophet, he would know who this woman is, and what kind of person she is, and would not allow her to touch him. He would know what a terrible, terrible sinner she is."
But Jesus turned to Simon and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And Simon the Pharisee said,
"Say it, teacher."
And Jesus said, "A moneylender had two men who were in debt to him. One owed him 500 silver coins. The other owed him 5 silver coins. Both were unable to pay their debt, and the master graciously forgave them both. Which of the two will love him more?"
The tables were now turned. Simon had invited Jesus to his house with the goal to put him in his place by insulting him when he walked through his doors by not offering him water for washing, a kiss for the cheek, or oil for the head. He had set a trap for Jesus. But his trap was undone by the unexpected actions of the woman and by the parable that revealed the truth for all to see and hear. Simon was now trapped, but to save face, he answered,
I suppose the one to whom he forgave more.
I suppose? Didn't Simon know? Of course he knew. Everyone knew the answer to Jesus' simple question from his simple story. But Simon's pride made it hard to admit the truth, even though it was looking at him in the face through the eyes of a lowly, sinful woman who provided water, a towel, kisses, and anointing oil that he, as the master of the house, should have provided. Simon grudgingly answered the question, and then Jesus turned to the woman, who continued to kiss his feet in worship and anoint them with her costly perfume. And Jesus said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, Simon, that her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Jesus then reached down and touched her shoulders. With one hand he lifted her face and looked deep into her eyes and said to her, Your sins have been forgiven. The Pharisees could not believe what they had just heard. As if it were not enough that Jesus would let such a woman touch him, now he was claiming to forgive her sins. Who did he think he was? But while they were choking on their lunch over what the woman did and what Jesus said, Jesus stood, raised the woman up, and said to her, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The woman could not believe what she was experiencing. All that she had hoped for was coming true. She was standing next to Jesus and without saying a word, revealed her heart completely to him, found answers to all of her questions, and found healing for the hurtful places deep within. She was now free. She took one more look at Jesus and walked out the door with her head held high and deep peace in her heart. This woman's story has been told countless times through the ages, and now it has been told to you. And I would like to ask you this question. Who in the story are you most like? There are several possibilities. First, there are the Pharisees, self-confident, self-assured, self-righteous, and self-absorbed. They thought they had a corner on the truth. They thought they had everything figured out. And they thought they knew better than Jesus. Simon laid a trap for him. Simon insulted him and thought that God would be pleased with the way he treated Jesus. They thought they knew the woman. They thought they knew how she should behave. They thought they knew misbehavior when they saw it. And they thought they knew that Jesus could never forgive anyone's sins, especially someone like that. But every thought, on that day at least, was wrong. It is so hard to admit one's errors when one is proud. Even when Jesus told the simple parable, Simon had a hard time telling Jesus the correct answer, because to give him the correct answer meant that Jesus was right and he was wrong. Are you like this man? I pray not. It can be so hard to humble oneself before God and to admit that God is right and we are wrong. But humble ourselves we must, and I pray that you will do so today. Second, there are the servants and the bystanders. The servants have had their hands tied. They can do nothing. They have received orders to do nothing for Jesus from their master, Simon. Yet the woman did something. The woman had courage to step forward when others would not. The woman was willing to shame herself by letting down her hair, but others would not even give a towel. One wonders what would have happened if a servant had stepped forward and how the story might have changed. He surely would have received the wrath of Simon the Pharisee, his master, but he would have received the praise of God. The same is true of the bystanders. They came into the banqueting area to watch the men eat and to hear their conversation. Perhaps they were curious. Perhaps they were hoping to watch Jesus do another miracle. Perhaps they wanted to hear an argument because they liked a good fight. But the woman was among them as one who deeply loved Jesus and who had been forgiven much. Everyone heard the same message that Jesus gave, but the woman met the words of Jesus with faith in her heart. Her life was transformed, and her heart awakened to the love for which it was created. Are you like the servants and the bystanders? Curious, wanting to see something exciting, but afraid to act when an injustice has been done. Step out in faith. Be courageous. Worship Jesus today. And then there was the woman. Perhaps you identify with her. Perhaps you have sinned greatly. If you will let the words of Jesus penetrate your heart, you will find your deeply wounded heart strangely warmed and renewed by the power of God. You will find yourself coming alive again. You will find your heart filling with love for God. You will have courage. You will not be afraid of what others say or think about you. So great will be your gratitude for the mercy of Jesus in your life. The woman who wept at Jesus' feet. Her desires were fulfilled beyond her wildest imaginations. When she had heard Jesus teach earlier in the day, her heart had been touched by the love of God, and she felt her soul coming alive again as the forgiveness and mercy of God spread through her. She had longed to be close to Jesus and to thank Him, but she had no idea how she would get close to Him. But in the unlikely place of the home of Simon the Pharisee, God opened a door for her to be with Jesus, to give Him her heart, to worship Him, and to find new life. What a story! I hope you can see why it is one of my favorites. And I hope you have enjoyed today's story about the sinful woman who wept at the feet of Jesus. And I hope that you will be like her and come to Him in humility and worship. I hope you'll also get in touch with us. Our address is P.O. Box 90047 in San Antonio, Texas, 78209 in the United States. Check out our website at storiesofthemaster.com, where you will find many resources to help you in your discovery of Jesus. My name is Jonathan Williams, and I hope you've been blessed today, and I look forward to you joining us for another Story of the Master. Until then, may the Master Himself richly bless you.